Let's kick this thing off.
Did we both just crack open an energy drink?
Probably.
It's early.
Oh my god.
We're actually doing this in the morning. Good morning. My throat, like I said.
We're actually doing this in the morning.
Yeah, my throat hurts, pollen sucks, I've closed all the windows, but I've also turned the aircon off because it's loud.
See, I still have the aircon going even though it's loud. That's how little I'm committed to this show.
You're on the other side of the room from your aircon, though. I'm staring it directly in the face.
Okay, no, that is fair.
Yeah, because I'm at the kitchen table.
So I wanted to ask, where do we want to start today? Because I think we're in kind of a weird place where we either acknowledge the year and a half long gap or we don't.
That's a great question. Like, do we want to just slowly work it in as the questions come up, or do we want to just be like, yeah?
Because here's the thing. Like, I think it's important to address some of what's happened in the interim.
Sure, a lot's
happened. For example,
happens.
Like on a personal level, I feel like it's probably going to come up that I'm married now.
Wait, you weren't... Oh my god, you weren't married since... Holy shit!
Yeah, like, I feel like that's gonna come up at some point.
I lost my job and now am starting a new one next week. Yeah.
Yeah. I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
These are all things that we could have covered on the show that we didn't, because we have depression.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the thing. I've completely lost my sense of time over the past year or so, just in general, because of not having a job.
For sure.
Turns out unemployment is bad if you get used to the days of the week happening in the normal order, because they kind of stopped doing that after like 3 months.
Yeah, they stopped doing that real quick, actually.
It sneaks up on you. It really sneaks up on you. And then you realize, wait a minute, I got laid off in August. It's now April, and I don't know where March went or what week it is. Yeah, it's been a weird year and a half.
Yeah, I would say starting my new job has definitely helped anchor me a little bit. Because at least now I know when the weekends are, because I'm always fucking working the weekends.
Right, that's the thing. You know when you're missing out on things now, because you are missing out on them. Because they're happening on the weekend.
Right, because if I go to work, I am missing out on something in real life. Because that is how working in live events works. This is Idle Curiosities, a search-driven podcast by myself, Noel Midnight, and Liz Mulholland, where we dive into our search histories and then share what we've been Googling this week. Music by Noel Midnight. Yeah, for sure.
Well, in a remote setting, but still, you know, I have to remember how
so,
to...
So is that why you Googled Prism HR login?
Kind of. That was for my fucking background check. And this is really just an excuse to go on a rant about how every single one of my previous employers, except for the one that laid me off...
Actually, hold up just a hair of a second.
Yeah?
Do we need to reintroduce the premise of the podcast?
Oh, God, maybe. Should we?
Let me give a 30-second spiel here. Hi, this is Idle Curiosities. Every week we do a Google search, or we compile a list of Google searches that we've done over the past week, and then we ask each other about what we've searched Google for as a form of, like, audio diary or way to, like, pry into our personal lives and really get into the details. So in this case, what happened was Liz had Googled the phrase Prism HR login and put it on the spreadsheet, and I saw that, and I was like, gee, I wonder why you Googled that. Let's talk about it.
It's like Vlogbrothers, but with way less production values or quality of content.
I'm not familiar with Vlogbrothers. Is that Hank Green?
That's the Brothers Green, yes.
The Brothers Green, okay. I've never consumed their content.
Oh, yeah, that was, like, the original premise of the channel was that they, like, were going to go back and forth talking to each other via 4-minute videos every day on their YouTube channel. Yeah, no, that was the original premise of the channel. It was just, like, them keeping in touch. In a public project.
Okay.
In, like, what, 2006, 2007? Whenever it started.
I find that endearing.
Yeah. Back when you could do that sort of thing without people thinking it was cringe, for the most part. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so back to Prism HR.
Yeah. So really, this is just a rant. Every single one of my previous jobs has changed their HR platform since I left them, which means that if you're doing a background check for a new job and they want your W-2s or something to confirm your employment at this previous job, you're going to have a bad time.
Sure.
So actually, there's like 15 or 20 search results in here that are search queries in here that are just me trying to remember the name of whatever bullshit outsourced company was doing paychecks when I worked there to see if they still do. The answer most of the time has been no. And yeah, background checks suck when everybody's using some bullshit software that they change every 2 years.
So explain to me why it's your problem to hunt down this information instead of your employer's problem.
So that's also a really good question. I don't want to say anything besmirching my new employer immediately yet.
No, I'm sure. Of course not. No, you wait at least 2 weeks for that.
Yeah. I was going to say a month, but yeah, after the first paycheck, all bets are off. No, it's like, it is their fault, but it isn't, in the sense that they farm background checks out to another service, which most companies do. Like, nobody has their own investigators on staff unless you're the feds or the Pinkertons. But I repeat myself, so, you know, I think it's just one of those nobody wants to work anymore things, honestly. I think it's just they tried to find, I'm guessing what happened is whoever's in charge of my background check did like a minute of Googling based on my resume for the places I used to work, wasn't able to find contact information at all for them because nobody puts their contact information on the website anymore.
Because
why would you? Why would you? And instead of like trying even slightly harder, they just bounce it back as, you know, me needing to provide additional information. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on here with this external outfit that does background checks.
That's pretty bullshit.
I agree.
Oh, fuck. Speaking of background checks, god damn it.
Oh?
So I recently got a job working for a photo studio.
Yeah.
And we're doing school photos coming up very soon.
Oh, so you got to do background. Wait, don't those normally happen like later in
September.
The fall? I feel like those happen in like October for me. I don't know.
This is the first 2 weeks of September for me.
Wow.
It's going to be two solid weeks of school photos.
That's front loading the school year more than anything else. Just like, and like there's so much going on at the start of the year.
Uh-huh. For some reason, Seattle Public Schools thinks that they want a background check on me.
No, that makes sense. I get that one.
It does make sense, yes. I'm going to be working directly with children for 8 hours a day for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
With minimal supervision.
They want to make sure that the weird transsexual they've hired is on the up and up.
Right. Although, I'm going to say, I don't think I'm going to have any time to not be on the up and up, given that I'm going to see each child for about 30 seconds, and that 30 seconds is going to be spent going, no, don't look directly at the lens, look at my ear.
Yeah.
Not directly.
Yeah.
No, my ear. You want to look at my ear? Turn your head slightly. turn your head slightly! And I've got 30 seconds of that for every single kid.
I feel like depending on the age of the child, you might want like some kind of small stuffed toy or something to hold up to have the kid look at. I probably wouldn't want to.
So thankfully, we're doing entirely middle and high.
Oh yeah, they're out of that range then. Yeah, I don't know. Hold up a laboo-boo. I don't fucking know.
Oh, that's a really good idea. I should bring one of those creepy ass dolls with a stupid ass ugly fucking face. It's made of plastic for some reason, so it's not even cuddleable.
Wait, really? Wait, hang on. Okay,
yeah.
So I know like three things about laboo-boos, all against my will. I assumed they were cuddleable. They look cuddleable. They look like I wouldn't want to, but they look like if that's your thing, they look cuddleable. They look furry, fuzzy.
So my big thing was I thought until I learned better, I really thought that these were the monsters from Where the Wild Things Are.
They just look like a Cheburashka to me. They look like an old Russian children's cartoon.
Oh, sure, yeah, there's that too. Anyway, I don't like them. I think they are ugly and creepy and potentially demonic, and I do not love them.
Yeah, they trigger the Furby impulse for me.
Yeah, but not in a good way.
No. The Furby impulse isn't good.
The Furby impulse is not good.
So yeah, you gotta do... Is your background check the kind where you have to do all the legwork?
I've been told that all I need to provide is my name and date of birth.
Really? Not even your social?
Not even my social, which seems a little sus.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, especially given that you've changed your name thrice. Twice?
Oh my god, I know what's going to happen. They're going to find my blue sky, they're going to find all my nudes, and they're going to be like, absolutely the fuck not. What they're going to do is they're going to find my pro-Palestinian tweets, and they're not going to let me into the fucking schools.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be that. It's not going to be the news. It's going to be the, it's going to be the Palestine thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Fucking damn it. I hate this goddamn world.
Tell me about... We're talking about cameras. Tell me about your...
Yeah, let's do
Canon
it.
EOS RMP.
So I was trying to figure out how many megapixels the Canon EOS R is, because I was hearing about standards for printing photos at large sizes.
Oh, they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah, so I also Googled recommended megapixels for a 30 by 40 print.
Right.
Because yeah. I want to print my work not just large, but as large as is physically possible.
Sure. And I feel like,
and I think that's a reasonable thing to want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, the thing that I've learned about printing is that the number of megapixels you actually need is lower than everyone assumes, in my experience.
That I think I agree with that. Because the answers that I found online were like, no. If you're working with a Canon EOS R, you can't print above like 17 inches. And that, I know, right, is hot bullshit.
Oh, I know. Yeah, no. I just, you know, Vicky has a fancy printer. I've had some pictures printed on that fancy printer that were taken on film and scanned in a very amateur fashion and still enlarged completely satisfactory. Like, you can tell it's film, but it doesn't look bad. It looks high quality. Mm-hmm. And it's a crappy scanner. You don't need that many megapixels. You just don't. Even if
you don't, like, because like I've printed 30 by 40 before, and I did that with my Canon 5D Mark III, which has fewer megapixels than the Canon EOS R.
Right.
And
yeah,
I printed it 30-40 on that, and you can't tell the fucking difference.
No.
Even if you're pixel peeping, you can't tell.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, it's not like people are coming over to your house and bringing a loop and holding it up to your wall. That would be insane.
God, I wish someone would.
Do you?
Yeah, that'd be great to have somebody who cares that much.
Oh, I would just find that insufferable.
Someone who's willing to put in the effort to come over and say, hey, you could be performing better.
Okay, but like...
Right, I'm talking about a middle manager for my life.
Why do you want that?
Because I'm terrible at regulating myself.
I mean, yeah, same, but like, middle management ain't it. No. Listen, if I put something on the wall... you can admire it, I don't care, but I don't want you pixel peeping it if it's on my wall. It's on the wall for a reason. If I wanted to pixel peep, I'd look at it on whatever the highest res screen in my house is, which I think is the TV, actually. Yeah, no, I just load it up on that. Look, just beam 4K directly into my eyeball. That's what I'd do if I wanted to pixel peep.
Right. No, that's what I would do as well. I'd throw it on my Apple TV, on my giant screen.
Yeah,
and I put my face right up against the screen and go, this looks like shit.
Oh, that's a thing that happened.
And then any normal
there.
Person, one
yeah,
second,
yeah.
Any normal person would then look at me going, that looks like shit, and say, hey, back the fuck up from the TV. It looks like shit because you're too close.
Right,
and I would
yeah.
step away for 30 seconds and look at it, and I'd go, oh, right, this looks fine because I'm a normal fucking person.
Right, if you're leaving nose prints on the TV screen, you're doing it wrong. If you're leaving nose prints
right.
on the frame, you're doing it wrong. I bought a new TV while we were off air, and that seems
Tell
weird
me
now
about
in
it.
Retrospect, because that seems like prime Idle Curiosity's fodder, me buying a fucking TV.
It absolutely does. What did you get?
I bought... Fuck, what is it called? It's a TCL. It's a cheap TCL.
I like the TCLs.
I do, too. It costs $100... During Black Friday from Amazon. Evil, I know. Listen, I live in a company town. Where am I going to buy it? It's a 40-inch, which is the smallest 4K you can reasonably get. I still don't care about 4K. I don't actually have any 4K media to put into it because I still haven't found or purchased a 4K Blu-ray drive, and I also only own one 4K Blu-ray DVD or Blu-ray disc, and that is Stop Making Sense, which I pre-ordered, despite not owning it.
So I can tell you, I personally do care about 4K. I care deeply about 4K, actually.
Yeah, I do notice
that. I care about
you.
4K because I can't figure out how to get it to stream to my TV without getting fucked up in the process.
Oh, I don't even try. I don't have
and
any...
And so I care about it from a troubleshooting perspective. Not because I want higher quality, but because there's a problem that I haven't yet solved.
That's fair. That's fair. I get that.
Of course, the other reason I care is James Cameron's Avatar, but...
You know, I just wanted a slightly larger TV, because the one I had was honestly too small for the living room.
What size did you land on?
40-inch. 40-inch.
40-inch is beautiful. 40-inch is just about perfect.
Yeah, I would want a little
smaller. I would personally go larger.
Well, you would, yeah, and that makes sense for you. I have a whole fucking manifesto, I guess, against the television being the central piece of the living room, but unfortunately, if you want to be comfy while watching TV, you kind of have to. So I'm currently actively, like, this week, as we speak, while I'm trying to remember how to be a human, also rearranging slash doing spring cleaning in late summer to my apartment.
Oh, that's fun. Especially coming out of a depressive spiral, that's really fun.
That's the thing. I've been on, like, a pretty... I would say a 6-month depressive spiral, if we're being reasonable. And, you know... So, yeah, no, it's been fun. It's been great, I assure you. But, yeah, no, I started getting into reviews. I started doing the thing, and I realized that I really don't... I don't care. I just want a TV that looks decent enough and that I don't have to enable any of the smart features on and that I can turn motion smoothing off with. And here's the thing. This is a Google TV. However, it has never been connected to the Wi-Fi. It never will be connected to the Wi-Fi. It won't be plugged into the network at all. As far as it's concerned, there is no internet, and it's working just perfectly fine. And I have no complaints
about
it.
That's the dream. That is a literal dream.
Exactly. So yeah, the TCL Series 8, I think, 4K TVs that run Google Play, because they sell three, I think two or three. They sell one that does Amazon Fire TV too. Same TV, different firmware. I don't know. The Google one doesn't complain if you're off the network at all, and it's great.
I am a little concerned for you not connecting it to the network that you're going to miss out on Fubo and Hebe.
I have an Apple TV.
Right, but can you access, like, the real stations there, the streaming service that offers a channel that just plays Matlock? Like, are you going to get that?
Yes. Yeah, no, I get Poob.
Okay, just, I want to make sure that you have access to 24 hours of CSI Las Vegas.
Yeah, no. Apple TV, like, there's apps for Poob and Jib Jab and Hebe and,
Wait, no, Jib Jab's a real thing.
I was wondering if you'd catch that one. It's so old.
Jib Jab's the one with the talking heads that looks stupid.
I don't think the talking heads look stupid at all.
Oh, sure, you wouldn't. You have nostalgia.
Yeah, for a band that has never been active while I was alive, yes.
Oh, wait, no, you're talking about a band? I'm talking about...
You said talking heads, and my mind was just like, oh, yeah. David Byrne, yeah. No. I know what you mean. No. No, I know what you mean. You're thinking about the old...
I'm talking about the independent digital entertainment studio based in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Somehow making John Kerry's forehead look larger than it actually was. Oh, and the chin.
That's the one.
Yeah. How did they... The Flash animation was a wild era.
I miss Flash, but I would pay anything to never have it back.
I think we have. I think the price we paid was the headphone jack.
You know what? I'm okay with that. There is nothing wrong with Bluetooth. Bluetooth is perfectly cromulent for literally everything you could possibly want it to do, which is why I'm going to prompt going into my own next search term, CQ18T Allen & Heath.
All right, so I recognize the brand name Allen & Heath. They make sound mixers and such.
They sure do. So this is a very compact sound mixer. Very compact. And I had to mix a Latin jazz band on it this weekend. And it was a 3-hour set.
That's really tiny.
Oh, it's very tiny.
How do you...
It's adorable.
Is it just all... You just poke the touchscreen for things?
Yeah, you just poke the stupid little touchscreen. It's got smart knobs, so the screen that you're on responds differently to the knobs than any other screen.
Okay, all right. I feel like I would get annoyed about this at first, but I feel like I could learn it pretty easily.
It becomes pretty intuitive, especially if you remote in with your iPad and only use your iPad as the interface, so you don't have to deal with Alan and Heath's interface at all.
That
makes
cool.
It a lot easier.
All right. I'm into that. I'm back on board.
So I had to mix this Latin jazz band that played a 3-hour-long set.
Nice.
And every 45 minutes, they would take a break.
Sure.
And on that break, they had me playing music from my phone.
Oh, no.
Which I had connected to the board via Bluetooth.
Oh, I don't like where this is going at all. I already don't like this.
Every so often, Spotify, and yes, I know I'm not supposed to use Spotify anymore. Get out of here with your purity tests, liberals.
Oh, my God.
Every so often, Spotify would freeze for just a moment.
As it does sometimes.
And then it would catch up by playing back everything that it missed at rapid speed.
It does this sometimes with my very broken CarPlay dongle in the car. Yeah.
And let me tell you, when you are being paid to be an audio engineer, and all of the audio is on your back, and Spotify starts doing that, you start getting looks from the audience.
Yeah. I feel like you might...
And that's an uncomfortable feeling.
You honestly should consider getting, like, if this is a thing you're going to be doing with any regularity, I feel like it might behoove you to have some kind of portable media player. Maybe not an iPod, but, like, some kind of rink-a-ding MP3 player.
The thing is, I need access to Spotify.
Right, because you have to have the right kind of music, sure. I mean,
right, because they shouted out, play some cumbia.
Right, yeah. And you're
I have never
like,
listened to cumbia in my life.
I have, but I don't have any on my iPod. I have seen so many shows in the past, I don't know, let's say probably 2-3 years, where the house music is very much just a Spotify playlist. And these are like bands you've heard of, right?
Yeah, of course.
It confuses me a little bit that this is the state of affairs where people are just like, yeah, Spotify is perfectly fine for this. I'm sure there's nothing that could ever go wrong with relying on a cloud-based subscription
And then they use the
player.
Free account, and you get ads in the middle of it.
I haven't
they
heard
were
that
too
one happen.
Stingy. I have heard that happen at shows.
I believe it. I guess the shows I'm seeing, you know, they're big enough that to shell out for Spotify Premium.
Yeah, they're mildly more responsible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Bluetooth.
We're on the topic. Okay, yeah, let's go back to Bluetooth.
No, I'm just angry about Bluetooth, as always.
So I'm really upset that I didn't just wire into the board, because I could have done that.
Yeah.
I had the cables.
Sure.
I just already Bluetoothed in while I was setting up the system so I could do an audio check and make sure all my speakers were working.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Because my cables were being used downstairs at the other stage. And
Excuse
so
me.
I was like, okay, I'm already Bluetoothed in, let's just continue doing this. Because it didn't give me that problem when I was just testing things.
No, of course not. Why would the tests
It didn't
ever
give
catch?
Me that problem. It didn't give me that problem in the 2 hours I was playing music before the show. It only gave me that problem during the show.
Right, during the intermission where everyone's paying attention.
Which is why I believe that I am personally being haunted by Saint Bluetooth.
Yeah, honestly, I'd believe it. I have definitely said enough disparaging things about Bluetooth that I know I'm being haunted by Saint Bluetooth.
Right, absolutely.
Unfortunately, I don't know what the cure is here. You might need one of those evil eye bracelets, I don't know.
I think the answer is to go back in time and start relying on radio again. Can you tell me why you Googled Meshcore radio?
It has nothing to do with audio, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, I guess it can, I don't think you can actually, no. It's entirely text-based. No, Meshcore is, a very, like, it's a let's just start this whole fucking thing over. Let me just start from the top.
Hi,
this
is Idle Curiosity. It's a search-driven podcast.
Far back. Meshcore is a wireless radio standard for very low power radio devices, and that can repeat.
So
and
this is the Morse code, the beep 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 like that.
No, everyone's just typing on their phones.
That's the only thing I know how to say in Morse.
What is it?
SOS.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one to know. That's useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's entirely text-based. Most people are using it with their phones. It's a mesh network, except it's not like Wi-Fi mesh. It's just its own mesh and its own frequency, and it uses various devices people have. Most of which are very tiny. Like the one I have is approximately the size of like one of the larger USB-C adapter dongles. It could fit in your pocket.
Okay.
No problem. And most of them connect to your phone via Bluetooth, and you can just chat to whoever's in range of you and, like, however many devices are also in range of you. Like, it can do hops across this network to other devices. Thus the name Mesh in MeshCore. The other one people like is Meshtastic.
So you're preparing for the internet to go down.
This is the thing. People are using this as either just dick around, as radio people often do, or, in an emergency situation, in case the internet goes down, in case you're way out in the woods or something and got some people with you you want to keep in touch with who are nearby but not quite in shouting range,
in case you're in, like, rural, say, Idaho or Utah.
Sure.
And you go for 45 minutes on the highway with no signal at all in SOS mode.
Sure. Yeah. So friend of the show, Moss, from all the way back, bought a couple of these little radio doohickeys and only needs one of them. So they were like, hey, you want the other one? And I said, yeah, sure. So I've been playing around with it. It's very much an open source project, which means the firmware is changing constantly. Everybody is playing around with different radio settings to see how we can get the best signal. And most of the traffic on the mesh is really just making sure we can hear each other from various parts of the city.
Of course.
But it's fun.
How is the range?
So, actually, I can look on my phone at a map to tell you exactly. But off the top of my head, on this mesh in the area, I have received messages from as far away as Tacoma and way up at Anacortes.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And out near Mount Rainier as well. Some people are hearing as far as Victoria, British Columbia. I'm not, but some people are.
For those who don't know, we are in Seattle.
Yeah. I should note, we're in beautiful, scenic Seattle, Washington.
We're calling it scenic?
Yeah, I'm going to call it scenic. We got a fjord.
Okay, we have a fjord, we have a mountain.
We have a few mountains.
We do have a few mountains.
We have a range,
yeah, I'll call it scenic.
I guess I don't
really know what scenic means. When people say scenic, I just assume that you have to go off the beaten path.
Well, yeah, you're from Iowa. The whole state's off the beaten path.
Yes, but I still wouldn't call Iowa particularly scenic. I think the reason that I associate scenic with going off the beaten path is because you do have to go off the beaten path in Iowa in order to get to something that is, like, scenic in the pleasurable way.
Sure. No, I do. Yeah, I get that. No, it turns out you can live in the scenic area. Weird, right?
Yeah, it does turn out, and I've just never thought about it that way before.
Well, and this is also, like, to me, this is, like, a big difference between the East Coast and the West Coast, to be honest. Because, like, on the East Coast, I feel like you do have to go inland a little bit and out of the city a little bit, usually, to get to the scenic areas. Whereas out here, like, anywhere from, like, I don't know, the Great Plains westward, you can be in a Target parking lot, right, and look behind you while you're putting bags in your car, and there's just, like, a beautiful mountain range that people have been making postcards of for a century, and it's just there, and you can see it from
Target. It's like going to the KFC right outside of the pyramids.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I remember the first time I was spent any significant amount of time in the mountainous area of the West, which was Reno, Nevada. And it's just, literally, I was in a Target parking lot, and I looked behind me, and it's just, mountains in every direction around you. I move here. You can see Mount Rainier from the Costco parking lot. What are we doing? Of course we live in a scenic area.
It's beautiful, and it really makes you appreciate America, which is why I want to know why you Googled America 250 logo.
So this bullshit country is turning 250 years next year, 250 years old.
God bless us. I hope we make it that far.
I hope we die.
I hope we both die.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so I have complicated feelings about America, most of them negative. A few of them positive sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, there's a few things we're actually pretty good at.
My feelings aren't that complicated at the moment.
No. This is the thing. Right now, the amount of things we're doing well is so, so minuscule in comparison to the incredible number of things we've been doing wrong and have always been doing wrong. But, you know, anyway, assuming that the funniest day on the internet doesn't happen between now and the 4th of July, 2026, we're going to have a bullshit, septicentennial, I think? I don't know.
I don't know words.
Yeah, I was looking this up, and I've already forgotten it, because it's an awkward clunky one, and it's not one people normally care about. But 250, nice round number, I get it. Our illustriously stupid president will...
I'm so sorry.
I'm just scratching out to do a Nixon. our illustrious president. Yeah. The dumbass in chief will be presiding over what I'm sure will be an insufferable and also poorly produced series of events to commemorate America being 250 years old. So, of course, it has a logo. The celebration, the event has a logo.
And I have seen this logo.
Yeah. So, if you haven't actually looked it up, you should do two things right about now. One of them, you should look up the America 250 logo. The other thing, you should look up the centennial, or the bicentennial logo, the one from 1976, which I think is one of the greatest pieces of graphic design work that has ever, ever, ever been produced. It's 1976, so of course you have some strong Helvetica going on in the words associated with the branding from the 76 one. That was the style at the time anyway. The EPA did this, Park Service started doing this. It was a good time for graphic design in America. And the melding of the ribbon in the logo, in the 76 logo, the 1976 logo with the star shape is just, it's good. It's really good. It's incredibly good.
It is really good. I've posted the images in the show notes channel on our Discord. That's, I don't remember how to tell you how to get to the Idle Curiosities Discord. Just message me.
There's a link in the show notes,
Blue Sky,
maybe?
On Blue Sky, I am at noelmidnight.com. If you want access to the Discord, just message me and I'll make sure you get in.
Yeah, that it's silly,
anyway,
I put
the images in the Discord.
Yeah. So, in comparison to the beautiful, perfect, impeccable 1976 bicentennial logo, the America 250 logo, it looks like toothpaste. It looks like a ribbon of toothpaste, and it looks more like it's saying 2S0 than it is saying 250. It is a red, white, and blue banner with some weird kinks in it.
I'm going to go a step farther.
Yeah.
I don't think it looks like 2S0. Mm-hmm. I think it looks like 2S6.
Oh, yeah, with a very sideways 6, but yeah. So my other impression of this is that I think it looks like a very stylized logo that a European rail company would give to a high-speed train. Like, it looks like they've got a train that they just named after how fast it can go. This is our 250-kilometer-an-hour train. We're going to call it the 250, and we've got this weird stylized ribbon logo. And in that context, I think it would work fine. In this context, it doesn't say America. And I think they know that it doesn't say America, because on top of this weird stylized, very, you know, of the time graphic element of graphic design, they've placed the word America in black text in a serif font that doesn't match anything.
I don't like it, but I...
I know what they're... I think this is the same. This is the same thing as how they want new federal buildings to look neoclassical again. You know, they have to counter any sort of modern stylistic element with something that looks uncomfortably classical, because that's the Republican aesthetic. That's the aesthetic of these Tavern dipshits.
My big problem with it, and I'm gonna tell you my big problem with it, mm-hmm. is that if you look at the Bicentennial logo,
yeah.
you've got the red, you've got the white, you've got the blue, and yep. you've got a star.
You got a star.
This is emblematic of the American flag in a way that is immediately recognizable as the American flag.
Nobody's going to mix it up for any other country that uses red, white, and blue in their flags, which is a lot of
them. And then you look at America 250, and there's no star. There's no indication that this is the American flag. I just see red with a thin line of white, and then yes, blue.
The thin white line, yes.
And as we all know, it is appropriate to have a thin white line in America at this particular moment. I do agree. Like, that's good branding for the
moment.
Noel,
you're not allowed to do cocaine.
Now, hold on. That's a different topic. Are you familiar with the comedian Josh Gondelman?
Yes.
So Josh has this running bit where everybody accuses him of doing cocaine, and he goes on the record to say, I do not do cocaine, which has only led more people to go, Josh, are you doing cocaine? And so he had a t-shirt printed up that says on it, I do not do cocaine.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And there are few t-shirts that I have just had this deep gut feeling that I need to own as quickly as that one.
No, you do need that t-shirt. That's, yeah, wow.
I need that t-shirt.
You need that t-shirt real bad.
I think that I should be allowed to try cocaine once.
No. No, you should not.
I'm not going to. Every wise person that I know has told me, do not do cocaine.
Right. It'll interact with your meds.
And so I will listen, and I will respect the wisdom coming from my peers. But I do think I should be allowed to try cocaine once.
I have tried cocaine twice. Didn't do much for me.
That's the thing. However, really do have to try it twice, because the first time you're just calibrating.
Yeah, but the same thing happened both times is the thing.
That is the problem.
The problem is I was at a party. I had what I would describe as a normal time at the party, not a bad time. I was having a good time anyway, but I just sort of had a good time at the party. And let me be clear, this is like 12 years ago. This is back when I lived in Tampa. Of course it was.
Sure. The statute of limitations and all that. We're good.
Yeah. It's everything's legal in Florida. Except for, never mind. Anyway, you know, I'm at this party. Someone offers me coke the first time. I'm like, I've never tried it before. Why not? And the second time, I was like, well, nothing happened last time. Let's try it again. But actually, something did happen. What happened is I got home from this party pretty late. Fairly drunk, and both times somehow found it in me to clean the living daylights out of my kitchen like it had never been scrubbed down before.
See, this is why I need to try coke. Have you seen my kitchen?
That's the problem. All I did was, in a very casual and in a way that absolutely violates the Hippocratic Oath, I diagnosed myself with ADHD based on that experience.
And here's the thing that I posit. I posit this, and I think that I should be respected and understood as the scientist and thought leader that I am.
Oh, my God.
I posit that cocaine is Adderall for people who are Adderall resistant, who have ADHD.
Is that a thing?
That's what I'm throwing out there.
There are Adderall resistant ADHD people?
Yeah, I'm one of them.
Oh,
I am on a heroic dose of Adderall.
Yeah, I know you're on it. I didn't know resistance was a thing.
It does next to nothing for me.
Wild.
Like, so it doesn't help me get things done. It doesn't give me executive function. It just makes it so I'm less miserable than before by some sort of small margin.
It just gives you some kind of baseline. So this is how you're on Adderall but still keep drinking Monsters.
Oh, yeah, because I'm pounding 400 to 600 milligrams of caffeine every single day just to try to survive.
Why do we always come back to caffeine on this show?
Caffeine is kind of a fundamental cornerstone of my life at this point.
I mean, same. I'm literally drinking a Red Bull. Partly because while I've been very disjointedly working on my apartment, I unplugged and cleaned out my old coffee grinder, but I haven't plugged the new one in yet.
Oh, what'd you get?
So you know how I said I've been depressed for a while? Back when I still had a job, I saw a Baratza Encore on clearance at Crate and Barrel. Someone had returned it. So I paid $70 for a basically unused Baratza Encore over a year ago.
I think that's a great idea.
Over a year ago. And I never set it up. I never dialed it in. Because I was busy having insane burnout, and then I lost my job, and I was busy going insane. I just completely, like, I put it in the cabinet under the counter, and I kind of forgot about it, to be perfectly honest.
No, that's fair.
Because that's what happens when your brain works or doesn't work like this.
I have found that the coffee routine, the routine of grinding and then brewing your own coffee, doesn't really hold up to depression.
No, this is the thing. I might have to buy a drip pot. I might have to buy the OXO, or I might shut up for a Technivorm. Right, we talked about it on the show a long time ago.
Yeah.
I couldn't
deal with the pressure of making a latte every day. It was too much. Like,
I mean, I'll just drink espresso shots. That's
milk?
Fine with me. But
oh, okay.
That's not the problem.
I'm not at that level.
Oh, I love an espresso. I absolutely adore a straight espresso. But
can I mix a straight espresso with anything to make it better? Like, I know I can pour it over a little vanilla ice cream. Sure. But is there anything else I can do to just an espresso to make it better? I guess I can put water in it and call it, an Americano?
Yeah, although I found that the amount of water you'd put in to make an Americano is too much for me because I want more of that espresso flavor. But if you do a little bit of it,
right.
I have two ideas here, and two and a half, because one of them is if you make a really short Americano, we'll call it a lungo Americano. No, we won't, that's stupid. But, you know, a little bit of water, like the amount of water you'd put in a glass of whiskey to open it up without watering it down.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That could be good. I don't know, but it sounds like in my head I'm rotating it, and it sounds pretty good. My two actual ideas here. One, tonic water. A lot of people love an espresso tonic. The bitterness balances out with the bitterness from the coffee and brings forward a lot of the sweeter notes from the coffee. Try it. You might like it. Second thing that I have tried and is good... Inspired by a Vietnamese coffee, if you get a thing of sweetened condensed milk.
Yes.
And, you know, just a little bit of that with your espresso, you're sort of halfway getting to like a Cuban coffee at that point. In a very roundabout and lazy way that is not authentic in the slightest. Please don't email me. I have made actual cafecitos before and they're delicious and I adore them. However,
Is liz@chowderless.com.
That's right. That's goddamn right. But yeah, no, a little bit of sweetened condensed milk.
I'll bleep that for you.
Cheers. I mean, you don't have to. It's fine. It's whatever. But yeah, a little bit of that. Because then you get the sort of not quite brown sugary, but like in that sort of flavor profile in there with the espresso and the milk tones. It's good. I think sweetened condensed milk is highly underrated as a coffee or tea additive in general. But just a little glug of it with a shot of espresso, I think you might like that a lot.
Okay, I'll be honest, I am tempted to give that a try.
Except
for the fact that I don't have my espresso machine set up anymore.
Right. It's on top of the fridge.
I think I gave my coffee grinder to Emma.
I don't remember
if that's true.
You can have it back then. No, if you did, you should ask for it back because I gave her one for Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I have it or not. That's
fair.
How long it's been since I've made coffee.
Oh my God.
I literally don't remember what equipment I have.
Listen, I've been there. I get it.
Because I have a Costco membership and I can buy Monster at Costco, I'm not making coffee anymore.
That's what it is. Okay, all right. Like, I know you keep Monster stocked. I didn't know if that was a subscribe and save deal or if you were going to Costco for it.
Oh, the subscribe and... I also do the subscribe and save. I'll be honest with you. I do. And you know how they give you a 15% discount if you have 5 items or more in your order?
I didn't actually, but go on.
So I've taken advantage of that by adding a $2 jar of applesauce to every subscribe and save order.
Oh,
that's
good.
Sometimes bumps me up to get that 15% off.
Oh, that's quite good.
And so I have a pantry full of applesauce now, which is fine. I love applesauce.
Yeah, it's good.
But I'm not going through it nearly as quickly as it's coming in.
Mmm.
But I have to keep ordering it because it's literally a money saver for me.
You have to. You have to be able to find something else that you can add to your subscribe and save that'll punch you over the limit. You have to.
Yeah, maybe allergy meds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Topical. Why are they back? They went away. I was fine. Now they're back.
Hey, while we're talking about breakfast, I wanted to ask you, when does Egg Slot open in Seattle?
When does Egg Slot open? We don't know. It's in August, allegedly. Well, no, actually, no, it's not August. Their Instagram page... Their Instagram page says fall. That could mean anything. I don't know.
That could mean anything. So probably not August. When you say fall, I'm thinking we're starting in September. Because yeah. that's when the kids go back to school.
That's when you start seeing pumpkin spice lattes again. Yeah.
Now, Liz, mm-hmm. I tell you, I was working the Bellevue Arts Fair this weekend. Right. And I had to run to Safeway in order to get bubble solution.
Oh, yeah, I do want to ask you about that. We'll come to that in a minute.
We'll come to that in a second. And when I got to Safeway, you have to walk through the Starbucks to get in the store.
Right. That's how they get you.
And they had this giant display up, one of those cardboard displays that has shelves on it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was exclusively pumpkin spice.
Oh, is it already happening? It's too early.
I want to be clear. This was July 26th.
Right. Today's July is July 30th. If you're paying attention, it's yeah. No. Everything happens too early. All of the seasonal bullshit. It all starts too early. It is all starting too early, and it's all blending together at the end of the year. And I'm tired of it.
I think there are certain stores. There are certain stores that should have the stuff too early. A Michaels, for example, or a Joann Fabric.
Well,
or
not anymore.
Hobby Lobby. Yeah, they should go in early on it because if you're a crafter, you got to start early.
There's a reason Costco starts selling Christmas trees in, September? Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're a professional, you have to prepare.
Yeah, totally. No complaints there. But if you're in Safeway, if you're in KFC, if you're in Trader Joe's, PCC, whatever.
I just don't need a PSL in July.
No.
It's not good. It's not going to have the right vibes.
No, I don't want to think about autumnal spices when I'm sitting here sweating my tits off. It's not
right.
It doesn't work.
You want a PSL to be associated with the crispness of fall.
You should be wearing a sweater.
If it isn't associated with that, it's not really a PSL.
It means
it's
nothing,
just,
then.
It's
just
garbage.
An apple pie latte. Yeah. No, that's a different thing. But, that's the vibe. It's cinnamon and allspice and a little bit of clove, I think. You know.
Yeah. It's enough pumpkin in it to make sure that people aren't upset when they learn that there's no pumpkin in it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But no, it's too early. Eggnog happens too early. I feel like as the economy gets worse, they're going to try and drag these out even longer. And that's what I'm afraid of that. I don't know if I have 4 months of bitching about eggnog in me.
I do.
I appreciate your vote of confidence. But yeah, Seattle's getting...
I tell you what, if they put eggnog on the shelves right now, I'll be honest, I'm buying a quart.
I mean, I am too. That's the problem. They'll get me. They do every time.
They will get me.
I bitch about it constantly when it shows up in late September. And then I buy it anyway because I fucking love eggnog.
Which makes us part of the problem.
We're part of the problem. We're enabling them.
They follow the money and see where it goes, and we're the ones who are pouring the money in.
We're the eggnog sluts.
We're the eggnog sluts.
As opposed to the egg sluts, which is a breakfast sandwich joint from Los Angeles. They're opening up in Seattle, and I'm looking forward to it mostly because it's going to be expensive, but it is going to be the closest I'm going to get to what I would consider a standard, normal East Coast breakfast sandwich, which Seattle just can't do.
And when you say the closest, we do mean within walking distance.
Oh, yeah. I also mean in the both in quality and construction and also in the fact that, it's what, 3 blocks from me?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Don't dox me. But yeah, of course, because it's a modern business, they don't actually have any information posted, but they had a pop-up earlier this month, and they've got an Instagram page where they aren't posting updates. But, you know, soon. I just wanted to know. I had a mood. I had a craving for a pork roll, egg, and cheese. And I was just like, well, when is that egg sale opening? And the answer is, I don't know.
I want to do a really abrupt segue right now.
All right. All right.
And I want to say, if you're listening and you got this far into the episode, congrats. Welcome back to the new era of Idle Curiosities. And if you want to support this era, if you want to support this era of Idle Curiosities, you can do that. You can go to patreon.com/idlecuriosities and give us as low as $2 a month. And that helps us make this show. One thing that I'm able to do this month because of your Patreon donations is I can buy a new plugin chain to process our vocals to make sure that our vocals are coming across as clearly as possible for you, the listener. So thank you. And also, you're welcome.
Also, just generally, if you've been on the Patreon this whole time while we've been away for a year and a half, thank you. We appreciate it.
A lot of you stuck around.
Yeah, I enjoy doing this show. Noel does too, I think. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's just, we've wanted to get back to it. We've tried to schedule things a couple times, but both of us have just been... I mean, this is not our first mental health break, right? It is the longest mental health break, but it's not the first one. I think most of you know what you're getting into here. But if you stuck around and you were still in your feed just waiting for an episode to pop up, congratulations and thank you. And it feels good to be back. Maybe by the next episode, I'll remember how to do a podcast better.
And we will be back... hopefully every week going forward. I'm
Except
really
not,
excited about this.
You know.
I'm yeah, really no. excited for the new show that I'm working on.
Hang on. Do you want to say anything about that? Because I saw a reference to it on your posts.
I don't want to sell it too much, but I will say that my wife and I are working on a show, and I'm mm-hmm. really excited about it. And it will be the biggest undertaking that I have made to a creative effort in quite a while.
Oh.
All right. It's going to be a lot of work, but mm-hmm. I think the work is going to pay off.
I look forward to finding out what it is, because I don't know what it is either.
Oh, I can tell you what it is, and I'll just cut it out of the episode.
Yeah, that works.
The thing that we're doing is...